Philemon, please, as you're seated. Philemon. All right, little tiny letter of 25 verses. Well, this is our third week on it. Amen. I'm okay with that. If the Lord's okay with it, I'm okay with it. Talking about a preacher, man, over here, John Kidwell, out of town, traveling preacher this last weekend. Man, he was asked to come in and speak. He didn't preach three times on Sunday. Fire from heaven fell down, and there was all kinds of stuff going on. People getting saved, coming out of everywhere, I think. I don't know. Maybe not. I'm not sure. But some west of here in West Virginia, Pastor Josh Carlisle's place, and had a good time over there. And you know he's nuts, and they're probably nuts too, so they probably fit real well, and had a good time together. And so, amen. The question is, Miss Brenda, did he do a good job? He did great. Okay. You have to say that. You're sitting next to him. All right. Talk to me later. Is that real money or fake money? What is that? Oh, that's me? Oh, okay. All right. Amen. All right. Philemon, please. Philemon. Let me ask you some questions by way of review tonight. Okay. So Philemon, who are the main characters? Who's writing this letter? Paul, okay? Where is Paul? He's in jail, he's in prison, but what location? Likely Rome, okay? The dating here of what's given by Mr. Usher's dating is AD 64. He's likely in Rome and all of that. So, okay, so who is he writing to? To Philemon, that's right. Philemon is a Christian in the church of Colossae, and we can see that evidence by the people that are mentioned in this book. Like Onesimus, the one he's writing about, is mentioned in Colossians, and it says, Onesimus, who is one of you, okay? And so he's in the church of Colossae there, and so we understand these things. Onesimus, what is his relationship to Philemon? He's a servant or a slave, all right? And he meets Paul, we believe, in Rome, where Paul's at, and he gets saved. And Paul says, hey, Onesimus, you've got to make things right. You're a Christian now. You can't just do whatever you want to do. You've got to make some things right. You did wrong by Philemon. You ran from him, and you were his servant. And it looks to be in this text that he's taken something. He owes him something. And so he says, you got to go back to him. And again, we dealt with that the first night. This what a hard, difficult thing. This man's just gotten saved, and you want me to go back to slavery? Do what? Yes, right. Why? Because you've done him wrong. You've got to go make that right. And maybe, perhaps he will treat you as a Christian brother and allow you to come out of that. But even if he doesn't, you've got to do right. You've got to be right with your brothers in Christ. You need to be right. Be right with other people. And so he sends him back, and we understand Paul here is pleading with Philemon to not take him as put him back in as a servant any longer, but to treat him as a brother in Christ. And we know that the Bible teaches us about slavery, that all men are created or are equal, right? All men are equal in the eyes of God. I almost started quoting the declaration there. Okay, all men are created equal. Anyways, but moving on. Okay, praise the Lord, it's based off Scripture. Okay, amen, all right? And so we understand that, but Paul is not trying to tackle that as a world problem right here in this letter. He's dealing with one man and one man's relationship with another man, and so he comes to him. Look again by way of review here, verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Enjoin means to command. Right, I could command you as an apostle of Jesus Christ, as the man who is your spiritual authority on this, I could command you to do what's proper, but I'm not. Look what he says in verse 9, yet for love's sake, I'm coming to you in Christian love, Christian charity. Do right by this man because it's the right thing to do. And that's what he's saying. And so again, verse 10 is the purpose for the whole letter. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Let me just keep reading here. Verse 11. Which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. That's a play on words there. Onesimus' name means profitable. All right. Verse 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. That is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. I want to keep this guy. All right. He's profitable to me. All right. I want to keep Brother Jones. He's profitable to me, right? He helps the ministry. He did well here, and I appreciate his family. But God's called him other places. So we say, Lord, we trust you. We know what you want, so we send him off. We send him off, and praise the Lord for that. Amen? And I do praise God for that. I mean, yeah, party, we got rid of Brother Jones. But without that, we would not have gotten Brother Grant. Amen. Why? Because I wouldn't even been thinking or looking that way, right? But God has a way. And it's amazing how he filled that right immediately. God had a plan. He had a plan. And I love that. I love that. Excuse me. And so tonight, as we continue here, he says, look at verse 14. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but of willingly. He says, I'm not going to do anything that you say I can't. I wouldn't go around your back on this thing. We've got to do right by you. That Onesimus was literally your property, your servant here, and we got to do right. Verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. I believe what he's saying there. Again, I know I'm still reviewing. We covered this, but I'm trying to go quickly here. It's been a couple weeks, okay? I believe what he's saying there is, I'm sending him back to you, and he will be there until you tell him otherwise. In other words, he's a new creature in Christ. Things are different now. There's no more running away. There's no more all this. He's a different man because he got saved. I praise God for that. There's some people in here, there'll be all of us in here, are different because we've gotten saved. Amen. I think about my wife's father. He's a different man because he got saved. He was the guy that everybody knew would be at the high school stands screaming his head off and pass out because he was so, you know, winded from yelling at the refs. You know, he's that guy, right? But he got saved, and there was change seen in that. Why? Because when it's real on the inside, it should show on the outside. Amen. Amen. All right, moving on. Verse 16. Now, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Yes, he's coming back to you physically, but he's also a brother in Christ now. Verse 17, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. This is where I believe that Paul is saying, Philemon, I believe, and other people as I study this, they believe Philemon was a product of Paul as well, a son in the faith, if you would, and where he's saying, hey, he's just like you are. I led him to Christ. And you don't owe me anything for that, but I'm not saying that. But listen now, here's another Christian, and if you want to charge me for that, and now that I'm asking you for him not to be a servant any longer, then put it on my account. I'll take care of it. Because I believe in people changing with the Lord. And that's what he says. Verse 20, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. This is where we've left off. So we're getting to a new verse now, verse 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Okay, let me joy over you. Let me find out that you have done what I've requested. Let me have that joy in the fact that here's two brethren that are at odds with one another, that one is upset that he's done wrong, the other one's fearing for his life, really. And let me find out that they've reunited, that you all have fixed this. And do it now because he's saved, he's a brother in Christ to you, and brothers in Christ can forgive, put things behind, and unite once again. Amen. You understand with the world, It's difficult sometimes when people don't think like you and they don't believe like you and they're not willing to always own up to their own sin and things. It's difficult sometimes to get along when somebody's wronged another person or get reunited. But with Christians, let that not be. There is unity in Christ. Amen. Listen now. There are Christians that are upset with one another, that don't talk or don't get along or do things to in spite of one another or to hurt one another, and that's not Christian. That's acting in the flesh, not in the spirit. And it's wrong. Because the Lord says we ought to have unity. And the Holy Spirit teaches us through the Word of God that we are to be right with our brothers and sisters in Christ, or we're not right with the Father. Amen. We've got to get right. And sometimes it is the case where this person just won't get right with me. But have I done all that I can trying to get right? You know what's difficult, church? You know why we fuss and fight with one another? Why there's disagreements? Because of our stinking pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Am I saying it right? Only by pride cometh contention. Okay? And sometimes we have to swallow our pride and say, I'm justified in this, I'm right in this, but it's not fixing anything by me fighting. Yes? If you didn't think you were right, what are you fighting about? Okay, anyways, moving on. So I'm digging my heels in. Well, there's a problem right there. Okay, let's deal with it. Anyways, but we've got to swallow our pride and say, it's not helping anything. And sometimes, listen, I've been in meetings with people. I don't know why they're upset with me. Like, literally, I don't know what I don't desire to be upset. I don't desire to be at odds with you, but for some reason, you're mad at me. I'm trying to figure this out. So you go in, you know what you do? You say, what can I do to fix this? I want to be right with you. I desire to have the relationship restored. What can I do to fix this? Please help me. Tell me, what can I do? And that's difficult. But it's right of us. Because where does the Bible ever say, no, hold out in your pride and stick to your guns and all this such and be angry and mad at people for the rest of your life? Where does it say that? It doesn't. And don't mix Bible conviction in there with getting right with people. Please don't mix that, okay? You understand, sometimes we have to take a stand and do what's right. And I'm just going to use Brother Terry here. Okay, I think we're okay, all right? I think we're okay. So that's why I can use you, okay? But I say, Brother, you know, he wants to do something with me, or he wants me to do something. And I say, Brother, I can't do that. I'm sorry. This is a conviction for me. I can't do that. But I love you, and I'll do something else with you. That we could do that, right? We can do that without being nasty. Where in the Bible does it say Christians are supposed to be nasty? It doesn't, does it? No. No. Have you always ever agreed with everything your parents have said? No. Right? Even as an adult, and sometimes there's opinions, and sometimes there's this, or something, and you don't always agree. But the Bible still tells us to honor our parents, doesn't it? Amen. It says children obey, but it says for us to honor our parents. We can still be right with our parents and sometimes have to disagree. Yes? Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, we're getting deep in the Word tonight. Amen. It's difficult when we're talking about relationships with people. And sometimes there are certain people that just don't want to get right with you. And occasionally, you know, you just, what can I do? I've done everything. You pray and you try and you pray and you try. And what can you do? And so what I'm saying with this tonight, let's not mix in Bible conviction, but let's remember to swallow our pride and get rid of that junk. Amen. And get right with people. And that's what he's asking for here. Okay. He says, let me have joy over this thing. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Refresh means to rest here. Okay. Rest my bowels in the Lord. Let me have some peace over this thing. I've requested this. I'm wondering how it's going to go. I believe in you, Philemon. You're a man of God and a man of character. And I know Onesimus has changed and God's working in him. And I believe this can be resolved. But I want to hear it. I want to hear that it's resolved. Rest. Give me rest on this thing. I wonder if he means by that, refresh my bowels, give Onesimus rest in this thing as well. My child here, my son in the faith. Verse 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Now, Paul here seems to be kind of buttering him up some more. Hey, I know you, and I know you're going to do great, and you're going to really do this thing. But also at the same time, he knows the man that he's talking to. He's a man of character. So he doesn't have much doubt on that thing, but he's reminding him of who he is, of who he's known. He's a man of character. Amen. Verse 22 here, he's finishing the book. I know many of you are getting excited with that. Verse 22, but withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Isn't that interesting? Now, he's in prison, and we believe to be Rome. Okay, if your Bible does not have dates in it, sometimes Bibles do. My Bible has Usher's dating system. It says A.D. 64. Now, he's a man, and that can be wrong, but he's pretty good. I mean, I like it. I reference that often. And it says A.D. 64, okay? But this is a different tune. Let me read that verse again, 22. It says, but withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. 2 years later, he will write in 2 Timothy, I'm at my end. I'm ready to depart. What's it? Isn't that what he says? He said, let's see. He says, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. That's a whole different tune. So, is he in Rome in both times? I believe so. Personally, I think so. It doesn't say that, but I believe so. Okay. And some people are under the impression that he was actually released from prison for some time in Rome, and then that he was arrested again when Nero was going against the Christians and all that, and put back in. I have no evidence of that. I don't know that. But some people would believe that way. But either way, he's praying, and he's been sitting in jail for a while. He's traveled all that time coming from. He was in jail in not Jerusalem, but the coast there, Caesarea. There while he was waiting to depart for 2 years. Remember, there was a transfer. Was it Festus first or was it Festus second? Remember in Acts? If anybody follow me, you know what I'm talking about? No, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about him being in jail over in Israel. Okay, he was in jail for 2 years. And there was a governor there, remember? And he went before one, and Felix and Festus. I don't know which one was first. And he was under one of them, and he wanted to let him go, but he kept him in prison because of the Jews. And then the next one came on to be, and he started hearing him. And then Herod Agrippa heard him. Remember all these things? That's when he appealed unto Caesar, right? So he'd been in jail for 2 years then, and then this travel all the way to Rome. And through that, there was a shipwreck, and he was in the deep. Remember, he got on an island, got bit by a snake. Remember that? Poisonous snake, and then shook it off, and all those things, right? And the people thought it was he was some kind of god because he didn't get killed by this poisonous snake. And he gave, obviously, gave all that glory to the Lord. And then he eventually ends up in Rome. Okay, and so he's thinking, maybe he's just been sitting in here for a while and he's expecting to get out. But he starts singing a different tune in 2 Timothy 2 years later. And so it's still a little bit different there. Notice verse 23. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Now Epaphras is a man of Colossae. And it's likely that Epaphras is the pastor of the church in Colossae. If you were to look up Colossians chapter 1, it literally says, Onesimus, a faithful minister to you. And I believe Epaphras has traveled to Rome to check on Paul, to give him an update about the church. to talk about some things. A preacher needs some refreshment from another preacher occasionally. And he goes, I believe he's gone there, and because of that, he's become arrested or a fellow prisoner with Paul at that time. He's talked very much so in the book of Colossians, Epaphras is, and here he's mentioned here as well. Okay, and so it's likely that Epaphras would be either the pastor of the church there or, very involved, if I can say it that way. Obviously, to minister means to serve, okay? Our deacons minister in our church here, okay? So they could be called ministers, but we understand these things. Look at the next one, verse 24, Marcus. Now, Marcus would be John Mark, okay? He wrote the Gospel of Mark. That's Marcus. Okay, Marcus is a Jerusalem Jew. Now look at the next one. Aristarchus. Am I saying that right? I don't know. But Aristarchus, he's a Thessalonian. Okay, so Paul, here's these different people that have been saved along the way and that are ministering with him. He's telling the people, he's telling Philemon to salute these people or remember them, if you would. Demas. Wait a minute, who was Demas? What happened with Demas? Didn't Demas quit? Yeah. He's about to defect and leave Paul. Okay. When does he do that? I don't know exactly when he's doing that, but we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that Demas takes off because he loves the world. Remember that? Yes. Amen. And so here he's still with him. So again, he's in prison there, but Demas is still with him. And then it says, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Who's Lucas? Luke. All right, so who is Luke? Or let's say this, what is Luke? No, he's not an apostle. He's a doctor. Dr. Luke. Okay, he's a physician. Paul calls him his physician, I believe. And rightfully so, Paul did need a physician traveling with him. All the things he went through, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, all the things he went through physically for the ministry's sake, as being stoned and his eye problem and all the things, being hungry and freezing cold. He talks about not having much to wear at sometimes and all this. I'm sure he needed a doctor. Luke wrote the gospel according to Luke. Okay, he's a very detailed man. All right, the Gospel of Luke gives us the most details about the birth of Christ and about some other things. It even gives us the genealogy from Mary's side in Luke chapter 3. It's very detailed, okay? And Dr. Luke, if you want to call him that, but it's Lucas here. And so he's also responsible for another book of the Bible. Anybody know what that is? The book of Acts. That is correct. Look at the beginning of the book of Luke and look at the beginning of Acts. He's writing, I believe, to the same person. And he's giving an account now in Acts of the Acts of the Apostles after Jesus Christ ascends into heaven. Jesus ascends in the very beginning of the book of Acts. And then what's the church going to do? He starts writing down the Acts of the Apostles. And Luke is writing some things he's heard about, and he's writing a lot of what he is seeing with Paul as he travels. And so Luke did travel with Paul. And so he's saying here, hey, so Luke, just remember Lucas here. He's with me. And then it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now, it's so easy to skip right over that last verse. Well, he's just closing. It's kind of like saying, sincerely. But is any words in the Word of God wasted? No. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So what's that mean? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. May the Lord Jesus and all that He has done for you, the grace, what you don't deserve, what you have not earned, what was given as a gift to you, let that affect your spirit. It surely makes a difference when we as Christians start living like, I'm unworthy and I'm here because of God's grace. That makes a difference in our spirit. Because when we think we've done something, and we start crowing like a rooster, right? Listen now, it changes our spirit, doesn't it? And our influence changes, and really and honestly, God resisteth the proud, does He not? The blessings of God are not as open and flowing as they could be if we were humble. I'm a worm. I deserve hell. I deserve an eternity where the worm dieth not, where the smoke ascendeth forever and ever. That's what I deserve. And He's saying, let the grace of our Lord Jesus here, He says, be with your spirit. Let it affect you. Amen. And so, praise the Lord for that. Maybe we'd be some Christians that are growing, you and I. Maybe we'd let the Word of God take root in our hearts and affect us. That we would be people of character like Paul's talking about with Philemon. That we would get right with Christians even when it's hard because it's the right thing to do. That we'd do our best to live peaceably with all men. Doesn't the Bible say that? Yes, it does. Now, we can't always. Okay? You're coming in at my family, we're going to have some words and probably some fists going. Okay? Why? Because I'm going to defend my family. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about physically. All right? Okay? That's what I'm talking about. Okay? You don't like my kids, I'm not going to swing at you. Okay? I'm trying to say I'm going to defend my family is what I'm trying to say. We're going to have some problems. But we can have unity and we can get along. There is no reason why the church can't get along. You know why we don't get along? It's because of our stinking pride and our flesh that we let come out. You want to know the real you? Go sit in traffic in 81. Yeah, some reason I just start talking sometimes. And then you hear one of my kids say something I've already said. And I'm like, oh man, I guess that was me, wasn't it? Right? You know what that is? That's flesh. That's us. When we don't control that, when we don't let the Spirit control that. Yeah. Yeah. Some of you, it's when you're working on a car. Or some of you when you're, I don't know. Anyways, moving on. But let's allow these principles from the Word of God to affect us and make change in us. That you and I would not just be rotten flesh anymore, but we would be growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and be different. And be different. What a change. Listen, we go to work and you work in some crazy places. I know the workplace of the world. Listen, and it's rough, it's crude, it's ugly, it's cheating, it's lying sometimes. Listen, but that doesn't mean that you can't have the joy of the Lord and make change in that place because God's working through you for a place. Amen. The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only coming out of your mouth, but in the way that you work. When everybody else is cutting corners and doing this or doing that or just trying to, you know, well, I'm on the clock, but I don't have to go my fastest and all this. And you got a Christian that's running circles around everybody. That ought to be the case. Okay? Why aren't we not just standing out? Because we ought to be. We work for the Lord. We work in His presence, not for everybody else and men pleasers. Amen. Amen. And it's been said by many employers when there's employers around, whether it be around a Christian school or rather around colleges where there's young people that they're not like other young people when they're Christian. They know how to work and they know how to have a good spirit and they're on time. Amen. That's a testimony, being on time. Amen. Amen and amen. You say, you're just preaching opinion now. Well, I'm bringing Bible principles out in modern day life. Amen. Let's be Christians. Amen. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for making change in me. Lord, I was so rough around the edges before I just got right with you. Lord, I had the world in me. And Lord, a lot of these things we're talking about, Lord, was just coming out, Lord, because the flesh was in control. And Lord, thank you for making change in me. Thank you, Spirit of God, for having patience and forgive. Jesus, for your forgiveness, your cleansing from unrighteousness. Thank you for, Spirit of God, you just just taken over, Lord, when I've come to myself and humbled myself. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray that you'd continue to do that with us, and that we would walk in the Spirit as we're told to so many times in Scripture. Lord, to literally just die to ourselves, mortify the flesh, the Bible says. Mortify it, Lord, to die to the flesh, what our desires are, what our wants are, what we think is best, what we feel. Lord, we just get that out of the way and say, God, you do what you want, and let me be a part of it. And Lord, what great change can take place, and what great things can happen when you use Christian people, even in 2025. And I pray that Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church would not be a church of flesh, but be a church of Spirit-filled believers, that we're unified together and making change in this community. Lord, may we still be a gospel presenting a witness to other people. Lord, may we be soul winners. And God, would you bless our church because of it. Thank you so much for the Bible tonight and for teaching us. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, offering plates are going to be in the back now. Brother Trump.